if the untrained observer, if you didn't know about horseshoe crabs and you just walked up on this beach right now and you looked out along the shoreline, you would just think they were shiny stones, thousands of shiny stones. And it looks like you could walk the whole length of this beach, stepping from stone to stone. They're that thick.
Each year, thousands of horseshoe crabs line the beaches along the Delaware Bay and spawn under the full moon. I'm Samantha Brown. You're listening to the Nature Stories podcast. This podcast is curated by Atlantic Public Media in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. Each week, we bring you pieces about the intersection of people and place. Up now, an excerpt from Nature's Bounty, produced by Louisa Jonas from WYPR in Baltimore for their series, Natural Maryland.
I'm going to ask you to do something that's virtually impossible. Imagine you are stepping back in time, say, 400 million years. We're talking before the dinosaurs, before flying insects even. Now, imagine you've morphed into a female horseshoe crab. Before you panic at the drudgery of your life, fear not. Tonight is your night to remember. It's true that you and other horseshoe crabs spend most of your time trudging along the bottom of the ocean. But this evening, there's a wild party going on. You're venturing to the shore, which you only do once a year. You and thousands upon thousands of other horseshoe crabs are swimming up to line the beaches. Along the way, you meet that special someone, and he clasps onto your carapace. You and your mate swim to the beach, where you'll spawn at high tide under the light of the full moon. You see thousands of other horseshoe crabs piling on top of one another until the sand disappears, making a carpet of horseshoe crabs across the beach. Your carapaces glisten in the moonlight. The only thing you can hear is the lapping of waves wash over you and other happy horseshoe crabs as you drag yourselves over one another and the sand. And because you're female, you're in for a treat. The mate attached to your carapace is not your only tryst. Tonight, you will mate with up to 12 or 13 males, all at the same time. But more on that later. Fast forward. It's May 17th, 2008, 3 nights before the full moon on the shore of Delaware Bay. If you're still a horseshoe crab, you haven't changed much. Dinosaurs may have had to grow wings and turn into birds to avoid extinction. You're an evolutionary renegade. You haven't really needed to evolve. A master generalist, you've survived asteroids, volcanoes, and ice ages. Scientists call you a living fossil. Tonight, you're swimming out to the beach to spawn, as you have for eons under the light of the full moon at high tide. Only tonight, you have some curious visitors.
My name is Jordan Rutter, and I'm from Silver Spring, Maryland.
I'm Keith Rutter.
I'm Erin Rutter.
I'm Pam Rutter, and I'm from Silver Spring, too.
We just love the whole phenomena of how, you know, once a year, or, you know, for a season, the horseshoe crabs do this incredible mating on the beach. I don't know how anybody can watch this and not get excited about, you know, just nature and science and how things work in the world.
But the Rutters didn't travel here from Maryland just to watch. They came here to count. Tonight, Keith, Pam, and their daughters are participating in a spawning survey on Pickering Beach. With their headlamps and waders, they're ready to hit the shore. For the past 10 years during spawning season, volunteers have gathered along the beaches of the Delaware Bay to count the number of spawning horseshoe crabs. There's been concern over the past few decades about the stability of the crab population, possibly due to overfishing. Stu Mickles is a fishery scientist from Delaware Division of Fish and Wildlife. He's leading tonight's survey.
We're going to be working in two teams. One team will be odd, and one team will be even. I circled all the odd ones on that one. And then we'll just leapfrog as we go down the beach. And like I said, I'm going to be like a drill sergeant and be on you guys and make sure we keep moving.
But first, there's a lot of waiting around. All across the bay tonight, on both the Delaware and New Jersey shores, surveying will begin exactly at high tide. On Pickering Beach, that means 9:04 p.m. It's not quite 8:45, so the rudders still have 20 minutes to marvel at what lies in front of them before the work begins. It's a cool, clear night with just enough breeze to keep the mosquitoes away. Keith Rudder looks out at what is spread before him.
If the untrained observer, if you didn't know about horseshoe crabs, and you just walked up on this beach right now, and you looked out along the shoreline, you would just think they were shiny stones, thousands of shiny stones, and it looks like you could walk the whole length of this beach stepping from stone to stone. They're that thick. But when you stop and think that they're horseshoe crabs, and both the significance of the horseshoe crab and also how many thousands of years, millions of years, that they've been doing the same ritual, it you know, can't help but touch it.
Or you might think the world was coming to an end. The bay has, in essence, emptied itself onto the shore, turned itself inside out. What's supposed to be tucked away deep underwater is crawling and writhing all over the place. Horseshoe crab spawning on the shores of the Delaware Bay is the largest in the world. The crabs spawn at high tide for a few weeks, but the peak spawn is often near the night of the full or new moon at the end of May or beginning of June. Tonight on Pickering Beach, just three nights before the full moon, the crabs are pouring in. The spikes of their tails stick up out of the shallow water as thousands of horseshoe crabs are tossed and turned in the waves of the incoming tide. Stu stands in front of one pile of crabs that's already assembled on the sand.
Okay, what we have is a congregation of spawning horseshoe crabs. There's a number of males on top, surrounding a female who's buried into about 10 centimeters in depth. Attached to her rear is a single male, and he can fertilize the eggs exclusively if there's no other males around. However, there's lots of males on this beach right now, and they're all competing to reproduce with the female. So those other males are termed satellite males, and they will also spawn or emit milt and fertilize a portion of her eggs tonight.
Already there are hundreds and hundreds of these clusters up and down the beach, and the tide's still coming in.
When spawning's this heavy, a lot of times you'll have to actually remove males. You know, don't be afraid to pull them off and throw them outside your quad. Don't throw them up on the beach, throw them out towards the bay. You know, be gentle with them. Try and leave the females in place if you can. But, you know, this is for the betterment of science, so, you know, a little discomfort to the crab, you know, may pay off huge dividends in the end, we're hoping.
Oh, the plight of the male horseshoe crab. They wait all year for a night like tonight, only to be torn away from their mate. But as Stu said, it's in the name of science, and in the human world, there's more than a little controversy over how the horseshoe crabs are doing. And toward that end, the teams tonight will have to move fast. They have to cover 1 kilometer of beach before the crabs disappear back into the bay as the tide recedes. It shouldn't be a problem for the Rudder family. This is the 5th year they've volunteered for a survey. The Rudders started driving the 2 hours to Delaware Bay during spawning season when their girls were small. Now, Jordan, the oldest, is a senior in high school.
My prom was yesterday, so we're, you know, getting out here when we can. So I even got my French tips, you know.
One night prom, the next spawning horseshoe crabs. Jordan's not adverse to getting that manicure wet and sandy.
Let's get rolling. It's time to go.
As the clock strikes 9:04, Jordan jumps right in. She lays her PVC grid down in the water and thrusts her manicured hands into the foamy surf, groping the spawning crabs one by one, counting males and females.
So there's I counted 4 females, and then I counted 13,
okay,
plus the ones you threw out.
Each team lays down a 1 square meter grid of PVC piping. Now at high tide, there are so many crabs on the beach that it's impossible not to step on them during the survey. Every once in a while, you can feel a carapace dent in under the weight of your foot. Disturbing, but as Stu says, par for the course. Male horseshoe crabs tend to be smaller than the females. They have a raised prosoma or front shell and claspers to hold on to the female. After counting the males and females in the grid, each team walks 20 meters, lays down the grid, and measures again. Over on the even team, the numbers tell the same story.
15 males. Here's one female, 2 females.
I don't know what this one is.
All right. Hang on.
Keith counts a ratio of 15 to 3. That's pretty much the way it works with horseshoe crabs. The female crab has it made. It might seem like she has more males surrounding her than she knows what to do with, except a female horseshoe crab knows exactly what to do. In order to capitalize on the presence of all of her mates, she's devised a winning strategy. Scientists believe each female directs currents of water to capture her many mates' sperm and pull it over her eggs. This is one of the many mysteries that fascinate horseshoe crab fanatics. The Rudders aren't alone in their adoration. The afternoon before the spawning spectacle, other horseshoe crab fans met up on a beach not far from Pickering. Every May, coinciding with the full moon, horseshoe crab enthusiasts from up and down the East Coast gather in Delaware to attend Green Eggs and Sand, a weekend education conference dedicated to all things horseshoe crab. This afternoon, participants circle around Dr. Carl Schuster, the grandfather or patriarch, you could say, of horseshoe crab science. Dr. Schuster, who wears a wooden horseshoe crab bolo, holds a male horseshoe crab in his hand. What makes this living fossil either so reviled or so revered? Well, the fact that they're so weird, like their eyes. They have 10 of them.
The only true eyes are up top. There's the ocelli, the two little simple eyes that are from which the Polyphemus gets its name, the eyes and the forehead. And then the compound eyes, lateral eyes, the ones that they see with. That's the mosaic eye that produces a mosaic pattern. And they can see shape and color.
Dr. Schuster was the keynote speaker opening night of the conference. In the world of horseshoe crab enthusiasts, he's famous. After his talk, graduate students lined up to ask him to autograph printed copies of his PowerPoint presentation. He's happy to share all the ways in which horseshoe crabs are, well, different.
Horseshoe crabs are meristomes. A meristome is a creature where the leg are surrounding the mouth. The mouth is about where my finger is. And if you can see the legs, the front parts and the back parts of the legs are in both sides of my finger. And the mouth is right down there.
Another weird thing about horseshoe crabs? The fact that sometimes it's hard to tell a living crab from a dead crab. Like at low tides between spawns. Instead of heading back to the water, some horseshoe crabs burrow deep into the sand and wait it out till the next high tide. They're still, dead still. Walking along a beach at low tide, you might see thousands of large grayish-brown humps sticking out of the sand. They look dead. But then you tap one with your foot, and a few seconds later, the lump awkwardly thrusts forward an inch. Horseshoe crabs give new meaning to the phrase, a fish out of water. When they haul themselves across the sand, they look like wind-up toys running out of juice. Their movements are labored. They look exhausted. Back at Pickering Beach, the spawning survey is winding down. The numbers still have to be crunched, but from the looks of it, it seems it was a successful night in terms of spawning. The Rudders are lucky to have been on Pickering tonight. So far this season, spawning has been sparse up and down the bay, in part because of a nor'easter that came through in the middle of the spawning season. Pam Rudder may bring her family to these beaches every year, but the novelty of what she sees doesn't wear off.
You feel like you're part of the bigger world here. You know, it's pitch dark right now, and all this is happening, and it's pretty amazing. Look at them.
Most of the crabs are slipping back into the water or hunkering down into the sand until next high tide. But there are a few determined solitary males still patrolling the beach, looking with all their eyes for a mate.
That piece was produced by Louisa Jonas on the shores of the Delaware Bay. You can hear the rest of this piece and others like it at the Public Radio Exchange, prx.org. This podcast is produced with support from the Nature Conservancy, online at nature.org/stories, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. I'm Samantha Brown in Woods Hole, Massachusetts. Join us next week.